It's Sunday morning, time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning and welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Your host, Charlie Potter, here on WGN Radio. I hope you're going to enjoy this morning's show. It's a little bit different than one that I ordinarily do, at least the first part of this is. So wherever you're listening, whether you're hearing me up in the pod in Manitoba or wherever you might be in the bayous of Louisiana or anywhere in the heartland, take a moment here this morning to reflect with me on what I call the citizens conservationists. And this morning I'm going to dedicate the first part of the Great Outdoors Show to the unheralded heroes of conservation, the people that I call the citizens conservationists. The people who make really so much of what we do in the outdoors possible. And many of you listening, as you hear what I consider to be a citizens conservationist, many of you will find that I'm in fact talking about you. I'm talking about individuals who make a difference for the outdoors and don't seek acclaim in doing so. And specifically this morning, I'm going to talk about an individual who was one of our great citizens conservationists who went too early, whose time came too soon, but who brought me this morning to talk about really what it is to be a citizens conservationist and what it is to make a difference in our world. So what I'd like to do is just take a moment with you to talk about really what we think of as a citizens conservationist. It's an individual, maybe like you, that likely most people have never heard of. And it is the way so many of us citizen conservationists want to remain. We don't seek the spotlight. They only seek really to achieve results. Hunt Eldridge exemplified the term citizen conservationist. He loved the outdoors, not only to hunt and fish, but to be outdoors. Hunt Eldridge raised literally millions of dollars for conservation causes in Illinois and across America, primarily where ducks flew. He bent arms and leaned on friends and recruited interested individuals to help protect and fund worthwhile projects to save primarily waterfowl habitat, fish habitat, but to ensure that those of us who love the outdoors would have a place to go, that those of us who could not lease a place or own a place to duck hunt had a place to go. Hunt Eldridge has friends the length of the continent for its efforts. Citizens conservationists have friends in their communities, in their states, and across the country for their efforts. Citizens conservationists are the backbone of the conservation movement. They give their time and their treasure without seeking acclaim or financial reward. It's the citizens conservationist who leads our peers to follow us and to do great things for a cause. The citizens conservationists need not be wealthy. They only need to be visionary and determined and to give of their time. If they have treasure too, that is all the better. But it is not necessary. What is necessary is a determination to make our world a better place. And the citizens conservationists are the unheralded heroes of conservation. And really, that's what this show this morning is all about. They need to be visionary. Citizens conservationists are visionary, and they give it their time. Yet, it seems when we look for leadership in conservation, we seemingly do not look to the private sector, to the individuals, to our friends in the mirror. Instead, it seems to me, and I'm not jaded in this, but this is my observation, it seems to me we look to government. We're looking in the wrong place. Governments don't fix problems. Governments are not visionaries. Governments aren't people. Governments at least the United States government, I'm not speaking for the world, obviously, the United States government, it follows the people. They, by their very design, are reactionary, not forward-looking. By their very design, governments are bureaucratic and not efficient. Government is not a citizen's conservationist. And yet, when we look at all the problems we have with the outdoors, in our environment, clean water, clean air, plentiful wildlife, we keep looking to government to solve those problems. As I said a moment ago, I really think we're looking in the wrong place. We need to look at ourselves. And that's what citizens conservationists do. So most of you have never heard. In fact, I'm sure 99% of you have never heard of Hunt Eldridge. But he was a citizens conservationist. Probably never heard of the thousands, the tens of thousands of citizens conservationists across the country. And in my walk of life in the outdoor community, and with the great honor it is to be the host of the Great Outdoors Show on WGN, I've run across countless citizens conservationists. Many of them have been honored here in Illinois. Bill Cullerton, Dan Basor, legions of others. Nationally, people like Donald O'Brien, Bill Webster, Buddy Malthus, Dave Uline. I could go on for hours about individuals in our communities and across the country. George Ranney, others who have made an incredible difference and yet never sought the spotlight. Some of our citizens conservationists are pretty well known. Household names in Illinois, Gaylord Donnelly, Marshall Field, Henry Barkhausen. They're individuals who are well known because of their business successes, not because that they also sought fame in their conservation work. And funny enough, the guy sitting in the governor's mansion, Bruce Rauner, is one heck of a citizens conservationist. Before Bruce Rauner became governor of Illinois or sought public service, he spent much of his life giving time and treasure to causes he believed in. A lot of people know about his work in the education community. Most people don't know about his work in the conservation community. Bruce Rauner was on the board of the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation. He helped fund numerous startup entrepreneurial ideas in conservation. Nobody knew about it. And still to this day, nobody knows about it. Because the citizens conservationists tend to be people who are leaders in their community. They're business leaders who became civic leaders with a passion for the outdoors and preserving its future. A future of hunting and fishing and land stewardship. Literally hundreds and thousands of individuals have donated their time in Illinois, across America, and their effort to make this state and our country a better place, our world a better place, for the sounds of geese and ducks and fish and prairie and fens and special places. So the citizens conservationists that I'm talking about this morning, they haven't done so because they sought a claim. And what we need in Illinois and across this country is a lot more citizens conservationists like Hunt Eldridge. I think of Stu and Wes Dixon, who helped save and return a large portion of the Upper Illinois River to its primitive state, where today it functions as a Ramsar site, a heritage site for waterfowl, the Stu and Wes Dixon Waterfowl Refuge. They pulled together individuals led by Al Pyatt, individuals we've never heard of, to do something good. And that's what Hunt Eldridge did. So today, let's take a moment to recognize those who have made Illinois' natural resources and environment a better place, who preserved the prairie and the marshlands. Think of people like John Muir. We know them well. Ding Darling. We know their names. Aldo Leopold. Al Hochbaum. We've read these people's great writings. They were citizens conservationists. They made our world a better place, preserving prairie, marshlands, fens. They planted native grasses. They helped count birds, and they helped clean up our waterways or even our roadsides. Think about when you go out and pick up a garbage can and walk down your roadside and do some good. You feel so good for having done that. You're not seeking recognition. Citizens conservationists don't get paid. They volunteer, and they've made a huge difference. I think of a guy like Matt Conley, who spent his life in the conservation community working. And then he retired, and now he's doing as much, if not more, as a citizens conservationist than he ever did as a professional conservationist. People who've literally given their lives. Think about Dan Basil and what he's done for kids and fishing in Illinois. There will not be places dedicated to the citizens conservationists, and they would never want it that way. Nor would so many who have gone before Hunt Eldridge, who have volunteered. They did so because it was the right thing, and not because it was popular or would help advance their standing in life. The citizens conservationist is a different type of outdoorsman or woman. We need a lot more of them, and we have them. We just need to look in the mirror. We're all citizens conservationists if we want to be. There are no barriers to entry. If you love the outdoors and the sounds of the birds and the smell of the marsh, the sweep of the prairie, the stand of an oak savanna, all you have to do is dedicate your time and effort and fight for their future. This is what Hunt Eldridge did. This is what so many like him have done. Only Hunt's time was cut way too short before he could have accomplished much of what he wanted. But the work remains, and the calling of being a citizens conservationist is clear, and it's badly needed. Hunt Eldridge and the other citizens conservationists that have gone before, this is how we think of you. And this morning, when we think about how we can put more of ourselves into the world, so there'll be more citizens conservationists, more people like Hunt Eldridge. I'll be back in just a moment with more on the Great Outdoor Show. And when I am, I'm going to talk about what's going on with the quest of states to take back their lands from the federal government. Thanks so much. It's Charlie Potter. I'll be right back with more on the Great Outdoor Show, the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN. And first, a message from your Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
Winter is here, and it's always tough on the road. But when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And nothing is tougher than the 2016 Chevy Silverado. Silverado is the longest-lasting, most dependable pickup on the road. With all-steel construction, Silverado is built to tame Chicago's winter weather. And Silverado's towing package offers 11,400 pounds of towing capacity. Perfect for hauling your snowmobiles. I love pulling my neighbors out of their snowdrifts. And right now, you can get $7,250 total savings on a 2016 Chevy Silverado All-Star. $7,250. That really warms my heart. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and get all the details. Or head to your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer today and pick up a pickup that works as hard as you do, on the road or off. Chevy Silverado is one tough customer.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here. I'm going to read a poem, a part of a poem now, that are dedicated to what I call the citizens conservationist. It's a poem by George Bird Evans. I'll take a few paragraphs that ring poignantly when recognizing the life of a true citizens conservationist. And right now, in recognizing the life of Hunt Eldridge. He wrote, "You could say there are many places to rest a hunter's soul, the cornfield where the goose come each November, singing their goose music, a song that heralds their meanness, their nearness, when the blind the far edge of the field. It would be a good place to rest, or the cove where December's ducks would find the last open water as they prepare for the cold and ice of winter. It would be peaceful there, under a blanket of snow. What could be better than to alight for eternity in the old apple orchard up the road, alert for the elusive grouse that whirr through the aged trees, fleeing at the sound of a bird dog's ticking bell. And the deer would be there too, browsing the overripe apples that drop heavy on an October carpet of leaves. Where should we bury this hunter? There is one best place. If you bury him here, he will come to you when memory calls. From the fields and woods where he loved to walk and look for game, he'll come down the well-worn path toward home. And if you bury him in this special place, none will resent his coming, for he belongs there. People may scoff at you, those who see no blade of grass bent by his footfall. Smile at them, for you will know something that is hidden from them and which is well worth knowing, that the one place to bury him is in the hearts of those who loved him, for they can take to the places he loved the best and will be better for it. So, and coming back to that theme of his citizens' conservationists, the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation has taken a stand, and more power to them. They are taking a stand on the recent legislative efforts that seek the sale or transfer of federal lands to state ownership. And I'm going to do an entire show on this next week because it's one of the most important issues we are facing in conservation. And it's endemic of what's going on, frankly, in the world. We think of the Brit exit that took place earlier this week. What we're seeing in the States is a return to the sagebrush revolution, which, of course, was made popular by President Ronald Reagan, the sagebrush rebellion, in which the states wanted to take back control. We're seeing it in countries who want to take back control of their borders. We're seeing it in states that want to take back control of their education systems. We are seeing it in conservation in states that want to take back control. The reason we're seeing this is because of the wholesale failure of the federal government in the case of conservation to manage the lands which they own and for which they hold the public trust and for which we as the citizens of America hold them responsible. This entire movement of states taking back federal lands is based upon the single premise that the federal government has failed us in managing these lands. In Illinois, we find this hard to believe because we don't have a lot of federal land. We've got the Shoshone National Forest. We've got the Madewin Tall Grass Prairie. We have the brand new Kankakee National Wildlife Refuge Complex. We've got Crab Orchard National Wildlife Refuge and maybe just a couple of others. And that's it. So we actually welcome in Illinois the role of the federal government to get land and to help us have places to recreate. But across much of America, particularly across anything across the west of the Mississippi, there is a brand new sagebrush rebellion brewing, and this time it is based upon legislation that is going to take place, legislation that is going to try to strip the federal government of the lands it owns and returns them to the state. It's a very, very slippery slope. It's one that we better think really carefully about before we start transferring lands. The time we have left this morning, I can't get into it in the great detail that it really needs. But on the horizon, in this election year, the transfer of federal lands to the state is going to be something that is going to be very much on the topic. But it's on the topic of the whole discussion of why is the federal government not doing a better job? I think we all know if we think about it, and I think if we think about what we talked about for the first part of the show, the citizens conservationists, if the citizens conservationists took the lead, if we all as citizens became citizens conservationists, we wouldn't have these discussions. So, but in the meantime, we're having them. And next week I'll talk about the transfer of public lands from state to federal, from federal governments to states. Thanks so much for being with me. I hope you enjoyed the show. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN. Have a great week in the great outdoors.